listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
The title of our message is Wandering Well. And this series, the potential exists to think, well, wandering, isn't that have a negative connotation? And have, like, you're lost, you don't know what you're doing, you're in a bad place? I think, yeah, it could be. But in a lot of ways, what really jumped out at me was that God does incredible things in people's life when they're in a wandering spot if they were relying upon him. We have, in the desert, Israel learned who God is and how to follow him. In the desert, David and his band of merry men learned dependence upon God and deliverance over and over and over again. Jesus and his disciples, as you read through the scriptures, especially the gospels, you'll see he wandered all over Judah. There was no rhyme or reason, just different places that he went. And it really stuck out to me that our life, especially life with God, is not linear. It'd be really neat if we could just go, okay, this is what my first step, this is my second step, this is my third step, everything that I need is just going to happen nice and orderly. But in a lot of ways, life is random. And we experience things that we're completely not ready for. And then we are looking for opportunities to grow in our relationship with God and think things are going so well. And we find ourselves sidetracked. We find ourselves wandering. This is a study in how we can take our wandering times and use those to cultivate a dependence upon Jesus Christ and a reliance on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In a lot of ways, it means just laying down our own agenda and submitting ourselves to God fully and taking up our cross daily and following him. And so wherever he takes us, that's where we're going to go. So if we're going to wander, and I think every person is because nobody's arrived at their destination, let's wander well. Right on. So our guest speaker today is a friend of mine named Tim Allen. If you were expecting the tool man, you are going to be disappointed, but he's better, trust me. I met Tim when he was probably a high school sophomore back in when I was a youth pastor in Carson City. Over time, he turned into a man. Yeah. No. Tim was the youth pastor at the Carson City Assembly of God Church while I was youth pastor at the Fountainhead Four Square Church in Carson. And we developed a good friendship. And then I became pastor here at this church, and Tim became pastor of Valley View Christian Fellowship? Yeah. Yes, at the south end of town. And then just have always enjoyed our opportunity to connect. And he's somebody that no matter how long we've had in between being together, it's like we can pick right back up. And I feel like he speaks my language and I speak his. And we usually laugh a lot and have a lot of fun when we're talking. And so I'll let him tell a little bit of a story about the wandering he and his family have been on for the last few years. But it's just, how long have you been back in the U.S.? Okay. So been back in the U.S. I'll let him tell you where he went and whatnot. But for about a year, and I had heard about it, but I had completely spaced it until I was talking to my dad. My dad said, "Yeah, I had Tim Allen speak for me." And it's like, "Oh yeah, Tim is back." And so I invited him to lunch, and we went to lunch. And I got to tell you, I'm not a chatty Cathy most of the time when I go places. We sat there for like 3 hours and had no idea how much time had passed. I'm thinking, you know what? I would love to have you as long as you're in this area. Be one of the voices that gets to speak into the life of our church family. Because quite honestly, I really enjoy hearing what God's saying as he speaks to people who kind of know us, but aren't really here every single week. And so I want you to please welcome today Tim Allen as he comes.
I want to thank, it's a great pleasure and delight to be with you this morning. I want to thank Pastor Louie and Joni and for the invitation to be here. And there are a number of words I could use to describe. Louie mentioned a little bit of our relationship. But friendship is one of those. As a young youth pastor, Louie was very open with his time. I remember we went to when the Ormsby House actually had doors open in Carson City. Louie brought me, we went to a cafe there and he gave me all kinds of wisdom and I gleaned from that. And then as well as a pastor, he shared so many good insights and wisdom. There are a lot of competing wisdoms today about how to do things. And Louis spoke into my life there. And so he's been a very good mentor and friend. And so it is really a great pleasure to be here. This is my first time at Hillside. I was here as a high school student, I said, in this facility. But the facility looks very different. And we were here for a youth conference, I think. But we're very, very thankful to be here. My best parts are, in Scotland they would say, the best bits of your family are with me today. So I'm very thankful. I dragged them out of bed because we've been at tween camp all week. And they were really thrashed this morning. Some of you have been to Old Oak Ranch. It was mentioned. Has anybody been there before? Lots of people. Okay. This was my first time ever on that property. And we had so much fun. But I hadn't been with third grade through sixth grade for a week, for 24 hours every day, for a really long time. And I still, my wife mentioned to me yesterday, she said, I think you still have blue dye in your ear. And her toes and everything are a little discolored from some games that we were playing. But they're so much fun. And it keeps you young, doesn't it? Recently, actually, I teach some courses at Multnomah University, the campus that's here in Reno. And I was in a mock interview before the school year ended in a career and development course. And I remember sitting down and I asked the student, because he was mock interviewing for a youth position or a youth ministry. And I said, what is your theology of play? Can you share with me what, because in youth ministry, there's a lot of activities. And he thought about it. He said, I hadn't thought about theology of play. And I remember somebody once saying, you know, they were tired of, you know, feeding pizza and doing all these fun activities all the time. And he had just graduated from like Princeton or something. He's like, I really want to do the real stuff. Like the real stuff. Get deep. And I just feel like I'm playing games a lot. And this professor from Princeton actually said, what is your theology of play? Because you need one. You need to see how God is related to every area of your life. And at tween camp, your conversation can go, as some of you know, you work with kids, you have kids and grandkids, your conversation can go from Star Wars to Jesus to slime to something else in like a matter of like 30 seconds. And that right there teaches you something about limitations, about our limitations, and something healthy about our limitations, and that we're supposed to relate God to every area of our lives. I'm so appreciative to come in today, and your church is seeing things from the outside a little bit. Very hospitable. Thank you. Tony and Walt met us at the door, and we're just very thankful for that. That says something about your church. And the time you have to greet and mingle and connect, that's the body, that's connection. That's really good. It's called connect. So you're doing it, right? That's a good thing. I'm also very thankful to be a part of this series that Louis mentioned, because I too often think of wandering as a negative thing or a lost thing, because when you're concentrating or you're intentional, you're not just lost. And sometimes people wouldn't even know that they're, you know, lost. That's part of the distance issue that Hebrews talks about. But there's also really positive, which Pastor Louis mentioned, that the distance actually can be read a little bit differently against the grain. That if I see something from a distance, I actually understand it a little bit better. I can actually see in retrospect some of the steps. And Hebrews gives us lots of those steps with these different people, especially at chapter 11, with these different individuals. And I'm only going to touch on three or four action words within a few verses this morning. And just to kind of work through what it means to wander well from a distance. Because I have to tell you, I don't think I've wandered well. I think I've wandered, but I always tend to think that the jury's still out about how things work out. And these people that we're going to read about, they didn't reach what was the ideal of what the Hebrews were looking for, what their destination. Some people are very uncomfortable with destination language because they fear that if they don't get it, they don't even want to try, because some people are so afraid of failing, they don't even want to start off on the journey. And journey is one of the great metaphors in our time that we use to describe where our lives are going. Because journeys, if you use the word journey, it connects with all these different points. And the scriptures, like I said, I don't think I've wandered well. But I think I'm reading these scriptures in a way that challenges what I think that it means to wander well. The scriptures disrupt and they should challenge. One of the things I've always appreciated about Louis is that his ability and desire to think theologically about ministry, to think about how is God related to all the different things that we do, and why do we do those things, and do they lead us to a place of healthiness, or do they lead us to a place of wandering in a direction that may not be as beneficial? Some of you, have you ever had a wandering experience where you wander off a little bit and you thought, well, that was a waste of an hour? You know, I didn't have to do that. I didn't see anything extraordinary. But then there's other times, I'm sure you've had these experiences, where you wandered off and you thought, oh, I am so glad I went a little bit further in the journey. I'm really glad, because I don't think I would have seen that. I wouldn't experience that. And now, we don't usually say things about negative things that impact us right away. But even at a distance, later on, we look and we see where God was guiding. And he wasn't misguiding. He wasn't shocked. He wasn't scared. He wasn't worried. And I think that in these times of when we are wandering, that, and this is one of the things I think we can take away today, that don't cut the short story off too soon. Don't cut the story off too soon. Louis mentioned that our family has been on quite a journey the last a few years. So I was in, as Louis mentioned, pastoral ministry for about 10 years in Reno as a staff pastor, working in different youth and working with students. And then as a senior pastor for the 3 years before we moved. We made a huge change in our life. We moved to Scotland. Big move. And I thought there would be no cultural differences. That, hey, we all speak English. And language is like one of the biggest, you know, cultural factors. And I found out that what they mean by certain things and the way we do certain things and the way we relate is very different in many ways. But we found the people so lovely, so wonderful, so inviting. The first contact we had was with a group of people that didn't know us. They did kind of check us out because we were looking for a place to rent. And we were about 5 days out from catching our plane. And we were still trying to find a place. And it was in a little town. Some of you may have, I don't know if you've traveled in the UK, a little town called St. Andrews on the East Nook of Fife, right on the continent side. But it's quite a bit north. And it's a very, like I said, a small town, small university town. And we moved there so I could further get some education. And in doing that, there were so many things that, there's so many trust factors, so many things, risky things. I thought, oh man, this is either going to be a really faithful move or a really irresponsible move. It could go a number of different ways. And my wife, Jen, she's like awesome because she always says, no, this is a good thing. This is an encouraging thing. This is, God does things in these kind of times. And sure enough, we met up with a group of people and from a Baptist church in St. Andrews, very different than what we would ever experience at a Baptist church in the States. And they said, through a number of different people, we have a place you can come and rent from us. They give us a great deal. But one of the deacons there checked us out, went online. Is this guy really a pastor? Is he weirdo? You know, who is he? I mean, he took a risk himself. He met us. He said, I'll get you a place to stay the first 3 nights. You can't get into the house. You have no furniture. It's not furnished. He's probably thinking, this American is crazy. And we get it. And so he meets us after we've been traveling all night. We're thrashed. I mean, we look horrible. We have all this luggage, as much stuff as we could pack. And it was in a little village outside of St. Andrews called Blebo Craig. And this little village at the top of this little hill, you could see out, and some of you know Scottish history, and some of you know figures like John Knox, and the historical figure in the church, the Reformation period in Scotland. And you could see where he wanted a church in every parish. He wanted, a parish in every community, because you could pastor easier if you had all these different churches in different places, regardless of what size. And we just needed to meet those little villages and towns and make sure there was a place of true, you know, faithful worship. And we saw that it's on this little hill, and they're the garden country. We're the yard country, which I was surprised. I was like, oh, a garden, that sounds nice. And they work in the garden. So they're much more interested in aesthetics and reflection. And as Americans, we're used, not, I'm not I can't like put a blanket over everybody, but we're usually interested in things like utility. How's my yard going to be used for stuff or play? Right? We got to figure out how we're going to work it out. So we need some size and space, but they're a garden country. So the next day we get there, we're really, you know, hurting sleep-wise, and we walk out, and so beautiful, there's green hills, and it's what I thought, Scotland. You know, I had been there once before, but I'm like, this is beautiful. And I walked out through the garden, and you walk out through the drive, and then we walked along the fence. We put our wellies on. We actually bought wellies in the States, these the rubber boots that you wear everywhere because it's wet all the time. You can't wear tennis shoes. So we put them on, and we walk out this fence, and we go into the wood. And as we walk into the wood, and there's beautiful trees everywhere, and just really different kinds of trees. And I was just really enjoying it, even though we were, you know, my son was like in shock, like, where are we at? Where did you take us? But we started walking down this path, and it was muddy, and we're walking on this journey. We're going through the wood, and well, we don't want to get too far off the path, but we want to keep going. We want to keep going because there's so much new. There's just new everywhere. We just didn't realize it, how beautiful. And we saw some different just mounds of rock and trees, and we came to a swing. Somebody had put a rope swing. My kids love that. We jumped on that right away. And then we kind of stopped, and we said, we better get back because the roads go like this in a number of different directions. We don't want to get lost and not be able to, we just got here. People don't know we're here. No one would be looking for us. And so we make our way back, and my kids keep saying, I want to go down that road again. I want to get back. And can we go a little further? And I think as we look at this passage this morning, sometimes even in our own personal lives, not just collectively, personal lives, we go to a certain distance with Jesus. We sing songs like he's over all the universe. He's over all of our stories. He's the joy in our life. And we go a certain distance, and everybody has a degree of distance. These people in Hebrews have degrees of distance. They all had their marker where they kind of stopped a little bit. They all would go a certain distance. And hey, you look in history and all the people we think, wow, they really made a dent in their time that they spent in history on this earth. They made a difference somehow. But all of them, you read their stories and their biography, they all kind of stop. They all have their mark where they say, I'm not going to go this far. It could be with the personal Holy Spirit. They go a little bit to a certain degree. And I have my own degrees where I say, okay, that's good. Anything beyond that may be a little unmanageable or I like to control and manage things so there's order and neatness and, you know, so people can benefit from the neatness. But the Holy Spirit is really a disruptor sometimes. And I don't mean in weird ways, but it disrupts. And there's things, and there's time, especially when you're on your journey and you're constantly asking the question. People can say, it can be very, you know, narcissistic or whatever, to be thinking about yourself and it can be unhealthy to think about ourselves too much. But at the same time, if we're constantly asking the questions, and I think that's one of the things that Pastor Louis I've appreciated about him, he's constantly asking the questions. And when you're constantly asking the questions, it doesn't let you settle as neatly. It doesn't let you just settle. Say, this is controllable, this is manageable, there's little low risk involved. And these people, when we read about them, they remind me of these reckless, you know, abandonment kind of people. Like, I'll do anything for Jesus. Some of you are like, some of you are like that. You're like, I'll do anything. It doesn't matter because glory completely outweighs whatever risk. And I play it so safe. I play it safe. People, you know people. You have friends that move into situations or do things, and they're like, oh, what are you doing? It's too risky for your kids, for your family, forever. There's risk at everything. It's from a distance. There's pros and cons everywhere you go. You can say from a degree, oh, that's a contradiction. Or you can say, no, there's a tension. There's a real paradox before me. And that's part of the Christian life. They're reaching for the goal. They're heading toward the promised things, the promised land, and yet not completely getting to the point, not waving at it. We love goals. We have Olympics. I mean, we love reaching for the goal and finishing. But even those athletes, when they finish, they're on to the next thing. Their adrenaline is they're striving for something next. So I wanted to read with you this morning. If you have your tablets or your phones or your scriptures or your scrolls, if you get those out with me, and we'll read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. So verse 13. These all died in faith. Where does that put us? Well, we know when we wander, we know where they position they wandered in. They died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear. Another translation would say, people who speak like this, it makes it clear that they are not seeking a homeland. Oh, that they are seeking a homeland, rather. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, the Message Bible says in that verse 13 that they greeted it with a wave. They waved from a distance. And the wandering situations where we tend to seem to feel like we're lost, it may be an indicator that there's something inside that we're aching for, that we're wanting, that we desire, and that we just don't feel like what's going on now fits very well. The Bible uses lots of that kind of language. Paul would say things like, you know, put it on, clothe yourself, try it in Colossians, try it on. I know Louis, even in the some of the promos for the series that you're going through, that series, some of the literary examples from Lewis or Tolkien, I'm sure he'll talk much more, make those connections, because the literary, you know, works teach us something about what it means to know that things are not completely right. Even when I try it on, it doesn't fit very well. Like David threw it off, right? He didn't even want it. He's like, don't give me this armor. It doesn't fit. I know that's the way that you go out to battle, but it doesn't fit. And I'm sure there are many in this room that say, I know that's the way life goes, but it doesn't fit very well. And that may very well be an indicator to you and to even those who know you closely that it's not only okay that you feel a little strange in your circumstances, but that it actually may be part of your story, that you were constantly looking for a better place. You only have to turn on the news one time. There were several kids in tween camp this week who said that when they, one of the things that they want to do, and the metaphor was Hulk smash, that God Hulk smashes. Some of you know Hulk, the green, big green Marvel guy. Some of the things that, and it's because when they see the news or they see other things come, you just had to turn on this morning, whatever it may be, and you're like, things are not right. Things are not right. I need to head toward a different land. That strangeness, that indicator. But what is this welcoming? That's the first action word. Welcoming. That they greeted. They greeted the promised things from a distance. And I think part of that welcoming is that we realize that we receive everything we have. We receive the scriptures. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are in a receptive disposition. We receive. People give us life, our parents, and some things we don't even choose, but we receive. We're in a receiving place. And they received what they had been given from a distance. And they waved. They greeted it. And most, if you're a goal setter and you live with a lot of purpose in your life and you say, this is the way God designed us. We live with purpose and we have goals and we get to those goals. And when we get to those goals, we will have the outcome we were looking for. That didn't happen to any of the greats. And I have to tell you, when we look about thinking and looking and welcoming, all of those action words that they did, I usually try to avoid the things that come. I know, Louisa, one of the key verses you'll be looking at is verse 38. And all the things that talks about wandering well. And I usually try to either protect myself from those things or avoid those things. And avoidance and protection can be really good things. But we all know that we come to a limit. And we can't avoid and we can't protect forever. We have to go. We have to go and walk and live and love and hurt and feel a little bit strange where we are. You ever walked into a church when maybe you were the first time you ever stepped into a body of people that loved Jesus and you felt so strange? Like it was the strangest thing you'd ever experience. And you wanted your degree of distance to be really far. Like you wanted to sit somewhere else and just observe. And sometimes if you have, you know, good pastors like Louie and Joni, they say, yeah, observe. Sit, check it out. We're not going to make you change everything today. You know, one of the things I loved about even what you did with it in when you came to the table today, you left space for anybody, for a room, for people. Sometimes we make it really hard for people to get to the table. If we make the distance too great, if we create the distance, then we're actually promoting or making sure that the distance becomes, you gotta clear these hurdles before you taste of the goodness of God that He made available at His own will for the world. Welcoming. We welcome things from a distance. And it doesn't really, you know, one of the things Lewis says in Mere Christianity, he says things like, you know, you got to, even if you don't know that you're a child of Christ, you got to try it on. And not just try it on, you got to really try it out for a while. Like really engage. You got to, the distance that God has allowed, because Hebrews is very, very clear that Jesus has taken away most of the distance. All of it. He's made a way for you to know. The writers of Hebrews is trying to say. You don't have to do other things. You don't have to do other sacrifices. When you're wandering, He's cleared up a lot of the distance. But when we're welcoming from a distance, it's a little bit more comfortable. I like welcoming from a distance. I can look back. Looking forward is a little bit harder. And Christianity is one of the few, you know, if we want to say, you know, religious movements or faith movements, is one of the few in the world that says your days in front of you will be better than the days in back of you. And even the Hebrews in Ecclesiastes 7 tells us that. If you're constantly thinking of what God did, the things in the good days that you were able to manage and control, and you thought that was the epic, you know, climax of your faith journey, then he says, forget that. Because, right, God has done today. He says He's made this day just as much as He's made that day. So these are Hebrew writings. This is Hebrew wisdom. Saying that your days in front of you are better than the days behind you. What that looks like. We have good imaginations. But are we able to welcome and receive things that we, like these passages, that they didn't necessarily embrace, they couldn't reach the goal, or did they? There is that end point that's not finished. They ended their lives. They died in faith. But they were looking. They greeted and they were looking. I hadn't thought about this week, until this week actually. Because I was thinking the week before about this sermon, and I also, being at tween camp, I was the whole theme was illuminating. That was the theme of the camp. And we often think of wandering as if there's no light. But when they're looking and they're seeing, if I can encourage you, don't miss the looking and seeing together. We're usually worried about our individual lives. But don't miss seeing what God's doing together. Because there are, and oftentimes this is the challenge. We often think we're the only ones looking and we're the only ones seeing. Even as churches, we're not the only ones that are strangers. And we're not the only ones that are looking for a better country, a better way of doing things. People all around the world are looking. And Hebrews makes that clear as well. That we're looking for a better day. There's a host of a cloud of witnesses. But there is light. Because there's somebody preparing. Right? There's somebody making preparations for where you're headed. For where I'm headed. And he's the one who's not going to misguide you. John 14 is very clear about that. Thomas, and we all relate to Thomas to some degree. That Thomas is like, how do we know where you're going? We don't know where that country is. We live here. And there are competing wisdoms when you're looking in verse 14 about what that country is that you're looking towards. You're seeing. Some people think that, and this is true, that this is the place for salvation. Don't wait for another country for that. This is the place where Christ worked out. He's the one, this is where he built, he closed the distance for us. He made a place where we could have personal relationship. But he's not going to take us over. I know we talk a lot about that in church circles. But God is very different than us. And Jesus is very different than us, even though he's very similar. And there's always a challenge to go both ways, right? You can go extremes in different directions. He can either be really like us to the point where he's not anything different than us, or that he's very different. So the gap that he closes here in terms of looking, he lets us, some people would argue this is the place for salvation. This is where Christ dies on the cross. Earth, this is the place, not some heavenly other place. And they would want to remind you that you were meant for earth, that this is what you were designed for, and you need to get more comfortable with it. Get more comfortable with suffering. Get more comfortable with the reality of the way things are. Don't be daydreaming about somewhere else, about another world, another place. But the Bible, and some people, that's the only way they read Paul. It's the only way they read the letters. But there's another way of looking at the scriptures too. That there's always God breaking in. There's always God guiding and preparing. And there's a further place out. We're at a distance. And when we forget that, then hope begins to become, you know, our hope cylinder, whatever we contain hope in, our hearts. Whatever hope you have begins to dwindle. You mean this is it? This is as good as it gets? Whatever I can make in my wanderings, that's my only thing I can create, even though it's pointing us all the way to what he is, what he's made us, how he's created, the creativity. I love the artwork and the music. Chris, thanks for leading us today. That all those things point us to that other place. When we gather together, this is the most disruptive thing you may have done all week, is coming together. It's very different for me than any other time I've spent this week, except I was at tween camp, so there were a lot of kids yelling and joining together and talking about Jesus. But most in our workplaces, people aren't talking about Jesus. They're not sitting to scripture, listening to people and singing. It's very disruptive. And it constantly reminds us of that other place, that other country. So when we're looking, we don't want to be just comfortable with being. The church, the early church wrestled with this. Cyprian of Carthage, the first four centuries, there's different people, there's different thinkers who wrestle with the idea, is it okay for Christians to be okay with where they're at and not wish for something more? You know, they should be content. Paul says, be content with things. And even Cyprian of Carthage would say things like, you know what, I don't want the church to be so comfortable with their exile. As if that can go a different direction too. We're like, no, this is good. You know, we have families, and this is what God made us for. We are saved here. But he said there's more. There's more. So in your wanderings, there's more. In my wandering, there's more. There's also a point where we begin to, when we're looking, to get so, to want to get out of here so much. And others in the Middle Ages were so concerned about that as well. In France, there was a monk who said, you know what? I thought it was a really good idea to go to the Crusades. And then he said, no, I don't think it was such a good idea. Later on, from a distance. He said, I really apologize for that. Because I supported something that I didn't want to support. And we're all in that tension today. Between politics and religion and everything else. Well, as we're looking, there's competing wisdoms. And I know I'm not alone. When the only choices you have are political apocalypticism, where people are saying, if you collectively don't go this way, then all doom's going to break out. And the other side saying, if you all don't go this way, all doom's going to break out. And you're thinking, no, I'm looking for a different country, a further country. And I'm going to live it out. I'm going to wander with you collectively. But my trust and my hope is coming from a different place. Coming from a different place. And Jesus is not misguiding, like I said. But if they were thinking about this other place, and that's the third action word. So greeting, welcoming, and then looking, and then thinking. If they were thinking of another place, they would have ample opportunity to return. And when they, and most of us, from when we get to a degree of, like I said before, the relationship, whether it's with people or God, then we get to a place where we say, okay, that's my limit. That's the point where I stop. There's ample opportunity to walk in different, wander off in different paths. The remembrance, like Joni was talking about this morning. Things don't go well when we forget God's involved. And we know that. And the best example is one of the people in those passages in Hebrews 11, Moses. When he comes down and Aaron had already gathered the people. I mean, as if there was no, they just threw some stuff in the fire and it popped out a calf. It was as if there was no creativity involved in it. They had forgotten. They had forgotten God. So we remember constantly. We're always remembering that he's with us. And Hebrews 13, he never leaves. Quotes Joshua there. He never leaves us. Never forsakes us. He's constantly with us. In those passages in Luke 22, 19, he says, and he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. And when we forget, strange things happen like they did in Exodus. So don't forget on our wanderings that he is always with you, that he is always preparing, that he will never leave you, that he is constantly encouraging you. And even when you think the jury's still out and you're not sure how God's guiding you. So through that 3 years of education that I spent, 4 years, actually longer, right, Jen? Jen's lost from forever, Tim. You've been in school forever. Some of you are lifetime students. I received word a couple weeks ago that things went well. And man, I burst out. I burst out with tears of joy. My wife burst out with tears of joy. Because she sacrificed, you sacrifice when you're doing life. No matter what you're doing, your jobs, your church, your community, you sacrifice your time. You're wandering together and you realize that he was with you all the time. And I like looking at that from a distance now. Wow, I wave at it. I greet it. I'm thinking, thank you. I'm not, you know, whatever people think I should be or whatever I think I should be. I'm still wandering. I'm still in the journey. That keeps us that healthy limitation. Our dependence upon God. God's unlimited, we're limited. He's never going to leave us. There's very few things preachers can put you firmly footed. We're supposed to preach absolutes. But it's called faith. And there's very little certainty in faith. Except what Jesus, the distance he makes up. So I'm just going to pray this morning. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Louis. But I want you to think just for a moment, and I'm not going to spend a long time, but maybe you've gone certain distance with him and your relationship with him and with your community here, Hillside Family. People can be kept at arm's length in families all the time, or immediate families. And when you're with a family and you're leaving room open for all kinds, anybody to come, you're inviting. All of a sudden, when we make these trails and in our wanderings, we are caught, we are reminded we are not alone. There are not only people in a queue, a line with us. We are not alone. You look around, you're not alone. You might be wandering. You might be at different degrees of distance. You might come in here this morning, you're still checking things out. You're still checking Jesus out. But he has made up the distance. He has met you before you even made it to the table. He greeted you. He didn't just welcome you. He wrapped his arms, like the song says. He came with arms wide open. Jesus, thank you this morning for my friends here, this family, Hillside, and the different wanderings that are going on. What a great series. Because I myself, even just looking at these passages this week, were reminded that I can welcome. I'm limited. I can't make up the distance like you can. But you help me see more clearly as I receive more from you. As I keep my hands open for receiving. And then when I think about, when I look out and I realize there is some light, it's not all dark. It's not always night. That you have given us light to see. It points to you, Jesus. And when I think about keeping it safe and managing my wandering and controlling, having controlled wanderings instead of wandering well, I realize my life can't be spent like it can be spent when you're in control and when you guide. Help us to see, God. Help us not to return to old ways of doing things. Help us to think about what you're doing and to think about that country far off that you have given us a taste of, even this Sunday morning as we came to the table. Thank you for this church. Bless them. Bless pastors Louie and Joni and their team. And thank you for the encouragement that we've received of being with them today. I pray that you would bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.